Good day, everyone. Welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by what you hear. We want to inspire you through Christ to find the power of God's Word to the challenging times in your lives. Be sure to visit the blog page for prophetic words, updates, and godly inspiration at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Now here's your host, Glenda Linkus.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Linkus, and today we are going to be talking about casting your care. Do you ever wish that you could just give your problems to Jesus and go on with your day? I know I've wished it a lot of times. Did you know that you actually can? Let me read to you from 1 Peter. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So, what does it mean to cast your care? Well, I did kind of a word study on this, and to cast something, the word that is translated cast here, means to send it in the direction of someone purposefully. If you were casting a care on a person, it would be similar to delegating it, but we can't delegate anything to Almighty God. He delegates to us. So, to cast a care on God would be to send it purposefully in his direction. Jerry and I have definitely experienced numerous times when we have had to cast our care on God. Times when we had to cast our care because there was no other choice. But God wants us to learn how to cast a care on him when there is a choice. Okay? Now, whenever I had the stroke, we definitely had to cast that care because there wasn't anything we could do about that. I'm not a doctor. He's not a doctor. He was in prison. I was out here, and that was just a big mess. But we could not do anything about what had happened. Okay? In 2009, when the Lord moved me to Princeton before Jerry and I got back together, there were a lot of things about the move to Princeton that I had to just release it to the Lord. I knew he had spoken to me. I knew he had told me to come here. He didn't tell me to come to Princeton. He just told me, you know, pack up because I'm moving you. And then finally, the day I was leaving, he showed me Texas. So I said, okay, I'm pointing south, and I'll just believe you to tell me on the way where I'm going. And I had to cast everything on him. My grown son was with me at the time. We thought that he had a job when he got here because his friend had told him and said, oh, I can get you on where I work. Well, as you know, that was in the Great Recession, and when we got here, you know, he did go and talk to her and put in application with the company and everything like that and worked on that for weeks, but it never came to fruition. And he job hunted very diligently and was not able to find anything. So he ended up staying with me. I was not working. My work had ended in November of 2008. I was on unemployment, and I had no other income coming in but an unemployment check. And I had a nice big fat truck payment. And no other vehicle. Neither one of us had any other vehicle. So if I lost the truck, we had no way to even go get groceries or medicine or anything like that. And so it was pretty scary. If you've read The Wilderness Companion, you know a lot of that story. I did not write in there about Rick because at that time I did not have his permission to do so. He has since given me permission to include him in that story, and I may go back and add that at some point. But you can see through that book how terrifying that wilderness was. And God was teaching me to depend on him. He was teaching me then So I would know how to do that now, because I've been in this faith walk for, I don't know how long, y'all, 4 or 5 years now, where I've not worked at all and have depended solely on God. I have no other source of income other than a little bit of money that comes in from the books. That's the only other income I have other than donations that keep me alive so I can keep doing this work. So I don't have to go back to a secular job, which the Lord has told me not to do. So he was showing me then how to do what he was going to have me do in the future. And many of you, he's showing me right now, he has you in circumstances, he is saying, because he is training you for what's coming. He's training you because just ahead, you're going to need this training. You're going to need to know how to do what he's showing you how to do now, whether it's depend on him or whatever you're doing. Okay? So y'all hang in there. I know it's hard when you're in the wilderness. Believe me, I know. It is terrifying. Because everything that always worked for you before, nothing works. When you're in the wilderness, when God wants you to learn how to solve a problem a certain way, or wants you to learn to depend on him, he will not allow anything else to work. And if you go against him and you disobey him, then it gets really ugly. You really don't want to do that. Okay, so to cast your care is to say, Lord, I can't do anything about this, so I'm just giving it to you, and I'm hoping that you can do something with it. And I had a chance to do this the other day on something that was totally not important at all. I was cooking. My daughter is here with me now, and my granddaughter, and I was cooking because I'm trying to encourage my daughter to eat because she's very thin and she's losing weight because she got a job and she's running all day long, but she doesn't eat well. So I'm cooking this meal, and I'm making everything homemade. I'm making Mexican food homemade. I made homemade sour cream enchiladas. And I was making homemade friolis, homemade Spanish rice, and I had baked a cake, and I was making homemade frosting for it. So the frosting was going to be coconut pecan frosting. So I was going to toast the pecans before I started, because toasted pecans taste much better when you're baking something sweet. And I put them in the oven to toast, and I got distracted, and I burned them. And I had just gone to the store and bought them, and I burned all my pecans. And I was so disappointed. And I said, Lord, I am just too tired. I was worn out already by then. I had been cooking for hours. And I said, Lord, I am too tired to go and get more pecans. Nobody was here at the house with me to go. And I said, I am just going to trust you to show me some kind of way to frost that cake. Because I didn't have any ready-made frosting or anything. So I cast that care on him. And this is totally not an important thing to cast, but still. So a little while later, all of a sudden I get this idea. I have a cream cheese frosting that I make that everybody loves. And I thought, I wonder if I could make a cream cheese frosting and toast the coconut and maybe use brown sugar or something like that to give it kind of a, you know, that same kind of taste like you with the German chocolate cake frosting. And so I looked on the internet and kind of got some ideas from some other recipes, and I made up my own recipe and I frosted my cake. And it came out really good. Half the cake's already gone. So the Lord took what to me was a terrible thing, and I cast that care on him, and he actually redeemed the situation. He redeemed it. And I learned something in the process. I learned that even small things, I can cast the care on him, and he can redeem those too. So I want to talk for a minute about what it means to not cast your care. Okay, if we don't cast our care on God, let's say that I have a terrible, terrible problem, because I did not long ago. I had a terrible, terrible burden that Jerry and I had been under for over 2 years. And I had never said anything about it because it was our burden to bear. But it was a terrible financial burden. We are not a nonprofit. So we have to pay taxes on any income that we have, just like anybody else. And donations to us are considered income in the eyes of the IRS. And I had gotten some bad advice from a CPA, not 1 year, but 2 years in a row, different CPAs that really got me into a hole. And so I was like, okay, well, there's nothing to do except just, you know, pay the taxes. And we had already paid a huge monthly payment, much larger than my truck payment used to be, for over a year. When we got the next tax bill for $14,000, that we were going to have to pay it for at least another year. And y'all, I can't tell you how bad it feels to write that big check to the IRS. And know that there's nothing you can do and you just got to pay it. And there was nothing I could do except just trim every corner I could. I sold stuff that I had. I mean, I did everything I could to raise the cash to just try to pay that thing off. But I just didn't have anything to sell that would bring that kind of money. And so I just, you know, every day every day for over a year and a half, I worried about that bill. I worried about what if something happens and I can't make the payment, because I know what the IRS does when you can't pay them. They send you a letter saying that's a notice of intent to levy, and they say, we're going to come take your stuff. And I knew someone once that they showed up at the bank to deposit a check and found out that the IRS had levied their bank account, took control of their bank account, any money that comes into the bank account, and the bank can't tell you. I'm sure the bank can't tell you when that happens, but I don't know. But took control of their bank account, and they couldn't take any money out of their bank account. The IRS took it over. They can put liens on your property. They can seize your property. I mean, they are second in power only to God, okay? And so I have a very healthy fear of the IRS. And I felt terrible to have to, you know, pay those taxes. I said, Lord, there's got to be a better way. That's just not a good use of the money. And I want this to never happen again. And I prayed every single day. And I said, Lord, please help us to make that payment every month, because if we can't make that payment every month, I'm going to be in the street. I'm not going to have any place to live and probably not going to have a car to drive. And I worried about it all the time. I was not casting my care, because I didn't know I could cast that on the Lord. So not casting your care is when you think it's your problem, no matter what it is, and you hold on to it and you just go, okay, I just got to find a way through this. I've got to somehow find a solution to this by myself. What we have to remember is that with Jesus, we're never by ourselves. We're not completely alone, are we? We have a Father in heaven who wishes above all else that we would prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. And your soul prospering means you're increasing in intimacy with God. You're walking with Him. You're trying to follow His ways, do things His way, submit to His leading in everything, get the sin out of your life, that sort of thing. That's your soul prospering, okay? Your soul prospering is getting you closer and closer to being like Christ every day. So, not casting is holding on to your own stuff and trying to solve everything yourself. We're just human, y'all. We can't solve everything. But we think that everything's our problem. Well, one day, I was out walking my dogs, and I was praying about this huge burden. And I mean, there were days when I was almost in tears, because I was so just, it was such a heavy burden. I mean, when your budget is so tight that you can't spend anything. You know, you buy your food, you pay your utilities, you pay your rent, and that you can do is just pay your stuff. It's a pretty dismal existence. And let's face it, there's not much joy in your life if you're always having to worry about finances. Well, the Lord had forbid me to work. He told me the end of 2008, He said, I have retired you from your labors. You know, you're going to work for me now. And I was like, okay, good. I'm really happy about that, because I didn't want to work a secular job, even though I loved what I did. The research I did, I really enjoyed, but I didn't want to work a secular job because my mind was always on God. And I knew that secular job had no real value eternally. And I wanted to do something that had eternal value, because the world just don't look the same once you know Jesus. And once you're saved and you realize that this world is temporary and our lives are temporary, you know, you want to make a difference, a bigger difference than you can make at just a secular job. Not that it's wrong to work a secular job. Don't get me wrong. Don't get this twisted. If you have a secular job, thank God for it. But that was not where I was supposed to be, and that's why I didn't have peace about it. So anyway, I had been extremely, extremely burdened by this, you know, being alone, because Jerry's not home yet, and with only me to, you know, get everything paid every month. And I was praying about it one day when I was walking the dogs, and I said, wait a minute, Lord. I said, you know what? I said, you told me years ago not to become a nonprofit, because you said the government was going to take complete control of the nonprofits and tell them specifically what they could and could not preach. And you told me not to do that. And I said, so the taxes aren't my problem. They're your problem. That's what you said to do. And I'm just doing what you said to do. I said, you always pay for what you order. What you order, you pay for. That was your order. So I need you to pay these taxes. Y'all, I casted my care, and then I just finished my walk, and I felt a lot better. I'm like, I had peace all of a sudden over it. All of a sudden, I just had this real deep peace that everything's going to be okay. And I said, okay, God, He'll do something. I don't know what He'll do, but He'll do something. About a week later, I get an email from Finland, someone in Finland who said, I read your post on Facebook, which I had later removed this post, but where I just said, y'all, we really need prayer. Jerry and I are under an extremely heavy burden. And it was one of those days when I was really worried about it. And, you know, money was tight and I was just concerned. And I just asked for prayer, I think, on that post. And he said, I saw that. And he said, you know, the Lord laid it on my heart to help. And I would just like to know what's the deal and how much was it? You know, how much is it? And so I thought, well, that's a really nice person. And so I emailed him back and just explained what it was and how much the bill was and all that. And I really didn't know if I would ever hear from this person again because, you know, I don't know them. And I got an email back that this kind-hearted man had just inherited some money from a relative and that was the amount of the tithe on his inheritance and that he had planned to give it somewhere else, but the Lord was showing him to give it to us, to remove that burden from us. I cannot even explain how miraculous that was to us to have that burden lifted. He proceeded, it took a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, I can't remember now how long, it's not that easy to just transfer money from out of the country and to get that money to us. And that bill is now paid. And I cannot tell you how relieved I am and how much joy I have that the Lord was so faithful and so gracious and so merciful to us. Because he could have said, hey, you know, I'm giving you a job, just pay the bill. He could have said that, and I would not have argued with him. I would have said, yes, sir, I will do that, Lord. We're on it. And we would have continued to make those payments, and we would have just dealt with it the best way we can. But because God was so merciful to us, I wanted to share with you, because that was a miracle to us. That was a miracle to have that $14,000 debt removed. Was a miracle. And I am so very grateful to the Lord for doing that, because that made a huge, huge, huge difference in our lives. Because the tax debt had just been going on for years, you know, and you can't pay your taxes ahead if you're paying your taxes in arrears. You know, while you're making the payments back there, you can't be also making them ahead. So I really learned from that we can cast our cares on him. He does care about us. He did care that we were burdened with that. He did care that I was stressing out every month over it. And I know that, you know, we're not supposed to be anxious for anything. And I did my best not to be. Some months I wasn't, but most months, especially after paying for like a year and a half and then seeing another bill come in and knowing that you're going to pay for over another year, that was hard, y'all. That was so hard to just live with that every day. And debt is a heavy burden. It is a heavy burden. But, you know, the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the Lord clearly wants our burden to be light. There's a man listening to this show, and you are very, very burdened. And I see that you have a double burden, and I can't tell why it's a double burden. But it's. I think you're working two jobs. It looks like two jobs, and I don't know if you have a debt burden also. But I would encourage you, sir, to cast your care on the Lord, because the Lord's showing me if you'll cast it, he'll take care of it. He'll redeem that whole situation for you. Yeah, he's saying that he'll redeem that whole situation. He'll take care of that for you if you'll cast that care on him. And you got to be sure and give him the glory afterwards, too, because it's, you know, it's going to be him doing it. But this, the Lord clearly wants our burden to be light. That word light in the Strong's means easy to bear, easily managed, not burdensome. Well, clearly the tax debt that I had was not any of those things. It was not easy to bear. It was not easily managed, and it was definitely burdensome. So the Lord does not want us to be weighed down with all our stuff. So not casting your care on the Lord would be one day to say, Lord, please solve this problem for me. And the next day you decide he's taking too long or he's not doing it right the way you think he ought to. And then you grab it back and then you start trying to do it yourself. That is also, by the way, it's called not humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. So we don't want to be like that. I want to read you some of the things I found in the commentaries as I was studying this subject. I love what the Elliott's commentary says about our scripture, cast your care. The confidence, talking about our confidence when we cast our care, cannot be misplaced, for God is not forgetful of us. And he's not, y'all. He knows exactly how much your bills are. He knows exactly what diagnosis you're facing at the doctor. He knows how crazy your kids have been acting and your spouse. He knows how your coworkers are treating you at work. He knows everything. He knows how heavy your burden is. And he's saying, give it to me and let me help. Our God is very faithful, y'all. He invented faithfulness. He loves faithfulness. He rewards it because it's something in us that looks like him. Our confidence is definitely not misplaced because our Father will not forget us. Barnes notes on the Bible had this to say, for he careth for you. He is not like the gods worshipped by many of the pagans who were supposed to be so exalted and so distant that they did not interest themselves in human affairs. But he, our God, condescends to regard the needs of the meanest of his creatures. It is one of his glorious attributes. I love that. And this one, which is my absolute favorite from Cambridge Bible for Schools and Colleges, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The English version emphasizes a distinctive in the Greek. The first word for care means cast your care. That first word, care, means distracting anxiety, as in Matthew 13:22, Mark 4:19. The latter conveying the idea simply of the care that precedes and provides. So, cast your care, cast your distracting anxiety on him, for he foresees and provides. How's that for a good interpretation? I love that. Cast our distracting anxieties on him because he already has seen and he has already provided. Before we have called, he has already answered us. I just wanted to give glory to God today for what he did for me, y'all, because I was so amazed by his great mercy towards us and his compassion towards us that he removed that burden, because it was very hard to bear. And we would have borne it out if that's what we needed to do. We would have just done our best and kept doing it and done without whatever needed to be done without to, you know, get it all done. But God was so merciful to us. He did a miracle, and I wanted to share with you that he did that for us, and he'll do it for you too. I pray that you will cast your care on him today and that you will remember that he will take those distracting anxieties, and he is the God that foresees and provides. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a great week. God bless you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio. We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com. Or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas, 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any other church or nonprofit organization.
Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write the Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax. Have you ever been betrayed by someone you love deeply? If you have, then you know betrayal by someone you love can be a life-altering experience. But did you know that every Christian must pass the test of absolute betrayal at least once in their walk if they want to go higher? No test hurts more or pulls more strongly on your emotions than when someone you love completely turns on you. Do you know how to pass this test? Through a revelation received from the Lord, I share in my book, The Judas Test, the good news about why betrayal visits us and how to pass this test when it comes your way. Don't let betrayal catch you by surprise. Be ready to pass the test. Read of biblical examples of various types of betrayal and learn what the scripture says about how to pass the test. The Judas Test, available on Amazon.com.